The San Martin mine is 12,992 hectares, which we occupy about 11%. We own the land 100%, the mineral rights, and we don't have NSR on the property. We don't have any debt related to the property or the company. We don't have any forward sales. We have nothing attached. We manufacture the gold and silver, as I like to say, and we ship it to market. And we reap the benefits. Recently added is La Tortilla, which is about 2 hours away. And La Tortilla is a historic silver mine. And what we've published is what we think the throughput through the mill will be 550 grams average per ton of silver. How much money is it going to cost to process? What is the time frame? And this is what we call near term. We're talking, another couple of months, and we hope to be shipping some bulk samples.
Good day. We have today with me Robert Eadie, who is President and CEO of Star Core International Mines. Robert, how are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having us back again, Steve. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Robert, if you can start us off with giving us the ticker, the website for StarCore.
Okay, the ticker is on the TSX, and the ticker is SAM, Starcore International Mines Limited. So it's SAM TSX. Website is starcore.com, starcore.com.
So, Robert, just for our listeners, I want to make clear that I am an investor. I know that some of us are investors with StarCore in our company, and we got we were interested primarily because we met here, and I enjoy a lot of the stuff that you had to say. And then since then, StarCore has become a sponsor. Having said that, I do want to make clear I am not giving investment advice, and I do ask all you guys to do your own due diligence. And one of the ways is you can reach out to Robert here. But Robert, if you can do us a favor and just give us the snapshot of what StarCore is, where it's located, what stage it's in, and why it matters.
All right, thanks, Steve. I will. StarCore is a junior producer, is what we call it. We produce gold and silver from the San Martin mine, which is centrally located about 3 hours north of Mexico City. We have the capacity of about 1,000 tons per day. We currently use about 625 tons per day of throughput in the mill, and that allows us to produce anywhere between, say, 900 and 1,000 ounces per month of a blend of gold and silver. The San Martin mine is 12,992 hectares, which we occupy about 11%. We own the land 100%, the mineral rights, and we don't have NSR on the property. We don't have any debt related to the property or the company. We don't have any forward sales. We have nothing attached. We manufacture the gold and silver, as I like to say, and we ship it to market, and we reap the benefits. And with these prices, the benefits are good.
Well, Robert, the San Martin mine, you're sorry, go ahead.
Was going to say that's San Martin,
Yeah.
so we'll keep that one in our brains. Recently added is La Tortilla, which is about 2 hours away, and La Tortilla is a historic silver mine. And what we've published is what we think the throughput through the mill will be 550 grams average per ton of silver. Now, why La Tortilla is important to us is that we're using existing infrastructure at San Martin. We're going to take a couple hundred of those tons per day and allocate to them that ore we ship for 2 hours away. Now, what that allows, Steve, is a low cost of production and startup. So we're not building facilities there other than to extract the rocks, load the rocks in truck, and ship the rocks. And that's it. And we'll process it at San Martin, which we're fully permitted, and we have another 11 years in environmental permits. And by the way, that facility is an environmentally sensitive facility because we use dry stack tailings. What does dry stack tailings mean? We don't have a tailings dam or a pond. We don't have liquid. We extract the liquid from the material after it comes to waste, and we recycle or destroy the cyanide in the process. And so the water is either recycled and the chemicals reused, or in one process, the cyanide's destroyed and the water's benign. And we test for that all the time. So that's a very important factor about the way that we mine. So we'll ship from La Tortilla to San Martin, which will increase our production. And there's some other non-core assets within the company, which that we receive no value for, which I find that are very interesting assets. One's called El Creston, and it's in Hermosillo, which is a little bit north of Mexico City. And what we're doing there is it's a moly deposit, molybdenum, and it's had about 70,000 ounces of drilling. It has a PEA, which allows us to take a look at the economics of the deposit. But what we're more interested in, and we're looking at right now with some specialists, is the copper porphyry that underlays the moly deposit. And that's pretty common that you would get the copper associated with the moly. And there's some gold there, but nothing of significance.
So, Robert, let's start with the San Martin mine. That's your core asset. If you can give us the latest update on what's going on there, and you know, what are your plans to continue to improve operations, output, and consistency?
Okay, I will, Steve. I love this question because, you know, as investors always look at these projects and they go, okay, you know, or consultants that they want to get hired by you, how can we immediately improve and how can we drive to the bottom line and mm-hmm. how can we, you know, make it exciting? So in our case, we have two types of ore. One is oxide ore, which is regular cyanide circuit, and one is carbon ore. And the carbon ore gets treated a little bit differently. So we have to treat the carbon, which we use activated carbon, and it basically, carbon's charcoal. It's like the old fashioned barbecue, you know, charcoal, that's what carbon is. And so mm-hmm. carbon comes yeah. as part of the process of the deposit being formed. And so we strip the carbon away and then we treat it as oxide ore. So we have two different circuits for that. And so right currently now, we'll bring the carbon on later this year. We haven't brought it on because we've had to make adjustments to the plant, change filters, etc. We tried to bring it on. We did have a problem last quarter where that the water got mixed up with recycled water where we needed fresh water. And so that's why it caused us some production problems. So, but we've got that straightened out. Now we're putting some new filters in, and that'll allow us the processing.
So, I know that you mentioned this before. What's San Martin producing, and what do we think we have here?
Well, the mine's been in production for 26 years, 19 years under us, and it's a large epithermal deposit, and we have not been able to solve the mystery as the source as of yet. Some renowned geologists from around the world have been there and or have seen it, and we have not been able to unlock the mystery. But we've modeled it after five different mines in Mexico, the best one being Cananea, which is in the north, which started as a small gold mine, turned into a ginormous copper mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility. On the low side, the mine will operate for 45 years, so we still have 15 years if that be the case. So we look at things, you know, what is the worst case scenario, the best case scenario, and we model it after scientific fact. And so it's not pie in the sky. We sit down with geologists, engineers, structural geologists, and we determine, you know, this type of deposit over here, this type of deposit over here, what do we model it after or close to? And so that's what we've done in this case. It being a small mine, it does have its challenges, what I call describe as peaks and valleys. And so in the peak is when we have, you know, which we're heading into now, we have good resources, we have good grade, everything is working fine. So touch wood, you know, there's 270 people working. So every day someone's you know, son or daughter's sick, someone's got a toothache, you know, it's all, there's the human factor. And so that comes with, you know, running the business. So in peaks and valleys, and when we go into the valley, that's what we're just coming out of. We go through, say, 9 months of where we're struggling with ore. And it's not we're struggling with ore. We're generally, it takes time to access areas. And so when I talk about accessing area, it's a yard or a meter in our case. So 3 feet. So 3 feet of tunnel. And so if you're lucky, you do 3 feet in 24 hours. So that's drilling, blasting, removing the rock, and securing the rock. You know, it's underground, so we safety is number one for us. We do take, you know, extreme care on the safety part. We're constantly testing new materials, blending the new materials with new adhesives to try and make the rock more stable. It's just normal, you know, stuff, which many investors sort of don't consider. And so that's why it takes some time to develop. It's not.
Well, I appreciate. Yeah, I can appreciate that because we know that mining accidents happen all the time. And so I can certainly appreciate that. Now, in terms of the La Tortilla project, you've been eyeing that for a while. You put a deal in, like, was it last year? And if you can tell us about
late last year, October. Yeah. And then we started with our filings with the environmental agency in Mexico. We just met with the local community, which now is a requirement in Mexico. The local community has a form to fill out and approve what you're doing. So that we had that meeting last week, and that went very well for us with community. Remember, back at San Martin, we have 19 years of history. So we have a community there that we work with. So we have a track record. So for us, it's not easy, but it makes it identifiable. So, you know, if I introduce myself to you, Steve, I say, okay, well, this is the company I represent, and this is my mining credentials that I've been at for the last 30 years. So when we go to a new community, we say, well, this is San Martin. There's a community there, and we've been working with them for 19 years. We've had some great successes with them, and we've had some struggles here with them. You know, we are completely transparent, but it helps a lot when you have a track record. And in Mexico with the government as well, we have a track record with the government and the agencies. And a lot of the people that work for me, Steve, have been there the 19 years. It's pretty common to find someone that's been there 20 years, 15 years. Somehow they seem to like it. I must be doing something right on that part.
So La Tortilla is pretty close to San Martin, and you were attracted to La Tortilla really because of the proximity and, you know, how that can benefit shareholders, correct? So what kind of returns are we I'm sorry?
Near-term production. That's what we were attracted to it for. It was a past producer. Historic producer, but a past producer. And it's in the proximity of another mine called La Negra, which is operating. And it's in what we call a district. It's not a singular deposit. It's a district. And so that's what near-term production is, what was the appeal to us. So
near-term production, and I'm sure the proximity doesn't hurt, correct?
It's 2 hours away. And so that all feeds into the economics. Feeding into the economics, when you look at a project, how much money is going to cost to start, how much money is going to cost to process, what is the time frame, and this is what we call near term. We're talking, you know, another couple of months, and we hope to be shipping some bulk samples.
So near term, you're thinking in a couple months we should start sending bulk samples. How long before we start producing moving forward?
Well, I would like to say that our target was about March 15th for the bulk samples. And I'd say June, July right now.
Gotcha. And so how much can
give it some variance.
Yeah. And so you mentioned also another some other assets regarding moly and copper. Can you expound on that just a little bit more?
That's called El Creston, and that's in Hermosillo. And we bought that. It's a moly deposit, and underneath is a copper porphyry. The only thing we really know about the porphyry is that there's a big structure in the middle of the porphyry, and we don't know if that splits the porphyry or not. That's the big sort of question that looms over that. But that's something that's ready to go in production based on the moly, and it's something that we're not going to put in production. We're going to look to sell it or joint venture it.
Gotcha. Any plans on exploration, or is the plan moving forward de-risking, bringing cash in? What's the plan here?
Well, we're always exploring in the mine. It's a constant. We're 10,000 meters, or which would be 30,000 feet of drilling per year, would be average. And some of that's production, say half, and half is exploration.
And Robert, are you fully funded? I mean, how much capital do you have, and how much more do you have to raise?
We don't have to raise any money, Steve, and we actually did a financing last year, late September, October, and that was to accelerate La Tortilla, and that was the first equity financing we did in over 12 years, other than strategic ones. We did a small one for $500,000, but that was to an engineering firm so that they could have a piece of what was going on. So other than that, a real equity raise, this was the first one in, I think, 12 years. And that raised us $5 million. We sit right now about $10 million cash on hand.
And Robert, last time we got you on here, you were talking about some big plans to grow the company. And I love to hear those plans again. And I think I'd like to ask, because I think when we talked, wasn't clear, I wasn't clear at least, as to what the gold price you were modeling out on. And I'd love to kind of get your thoughts on why that matters and kind of how you're pricing things.
Well, we're pricing things conservatively at 3,500 for gold and 75 for silver, and that's a conservative point. Should it pull back, which we expect that there could be a pullback in gold and silver, it's been quite a run. So naturally, I believe in the cycle 100%, but every cycle, has pullbacks and to strengthen and move forward. So I don't know why this would be different, but maybe it will. But we do a little bit conservatively on our pricing. And so our goal, this is an internal forward-looking statement, and it's a personal management goal we would like to, and it's all there. I was thinking when I was driving in today, and I was thinking, oh, I just talked to Steve today, and I'm always excited to talk to Steve because it's really easy to talk with Steve. And I was thinking, you got goals as an entrepreneur, as a company builder, and you're struggling for so many years, putting the pieces in place, and they don't necessarily come easy, and then there's external things, black swan events that stand in your way. There's unions, there's politics, there's worldwide events that they all affect, they really do. Holidays, Christmas, religious holidays, everything affects. So finally, through all that, Steve, as the business developer, as the team leader, I can see clear vision on what we're doing in order to build this into a cash flow machine. I can see the pieces. The pieces are there. La Tortilla is there. San Martin's there. We have the permits. Maybe we might be delayed by a little bit, but it won't be because of cash, and it won't be because of our willingness or our technical abilities. But I can see it in front of us right now without even having to dispose of any non-core assets. I could see it. So, and the other stuff, the non-core assets, as we've announced that we're going to separate our African assets, and we're going to push that out into its own company, and the shareholders of Starcore will receive, the goal is a half a share. For every share of Starcore you own, you get a half a share of the new African company, which we're right now calling EU Gold. And so those are bonuses for shareholders. And so, but back to the core, I can see the pieces and I'm pulling the pieces in place to work. I don't have to go out and find them. I don't have to go out and technically prove them because I've got that done. And that, again, wasn't the carbonaceous ore. The formula for that wasn't easy. And it took a lot of bright people, a lot smarter than me, to figure out the metallurgy, which usually it does. But now the difference is that I can actually see the cash flow and everything going in motion. I know there'll be challenges. I know things won't go as smooth as what I'd like them to go, but we'll get there. And then people say, well, how do you know that? How can you be so confident? Well, 19 years later, you know, through the 2007-8 crisis, 2010 independence in Mexico crisis, the last government they had was pretty much a crisis. So, I mean, he was like other people I know. And you wake up and you never know what the president said.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. And you just shudder and you think, you know, how much more time do we have with this person? So the 6 years with the last president of Mexico, I think I pretty much counted every month down. Okay, well, we only have so many months left. So, that being aside, I can see for StarCorp. I can see us producing, you know, large amounts of cash flow.
So, Robert, when does the EU gold thing take place? What's the timeline?
Well, we're in the process of it, Steve. It's not like everything has a process. In Canada, we do what we call a plan of arrangement. And so the actual court, a judge, has to approve the plan of arrangement. And what the judge looks at is everything fair for all shareholders? And is the company doing things correctly? And so once that we receive that, then we'll proceed with the divestiture and the bonus shares out to shareholders. That's what we call in Canada treating your friends right. Wink, wink, if you know what I mean.
I feel like that was a jab on me, as if it's my fault.
Not on you. I'm just, you know, want to share with your country what friends mean to Canadians.
Robert, speaking of friends, and you know, I am a believer in the company. As you know, I bought shares even before we started working together. But one of the reasons why I was excited was because I saw how not only tight the share structure was, but it seemed to be that you guys. I don't know what your philosophy is on diluting, but you seem to be protecting your shareholders quite a bit. So if you can tell me about the time, what your philosophy is, do you only, you know, dilute when as a last resort? Or, I mean, what's your philosophy on that? And then I'd love to get your thoughts on when dividends and buybacks might become an option.
Okay. As far as structure goes, which is dilution, what you're talking about, we've been fortunate because of producing cash flow. From 19 years ago, we took out a loan, which we had to service the loan. And then we had forward sales, which in 2012, we were able to buy back. We sold real estate along the way with the original package that we bought for over 9 million US. So we've been fortunate that we haven't had to go out and raise money. And we've had a good, very good quality shareholder that's been behind the company, supporting the company. So when we needed money in the last few times before this equity, I went and raised debt financing with a group out of Zurich, Switzerland, who are high net worth individuals. They put together $3 million for us and gave us a loan. And we, for in return, gave them a good interest rate, a bonus, and some warrants. And it worked great. Both, we did that twice. And so we're very comfortable with debt because of the cash flow. So that saved us from equity and saved us from diluting. And I would say there was times where senior management went without paychecks. I mean, of course, it was accrued, but we didn't get paychecks because there wasn't enough money. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody who's worked here has never had to do that except senior management. So sacrifices that you make, which you have to make along the way in order to make the company successful and not dilute. And so we've always treated the company with and shareholders with great respect and trying to preserve the company, the share capital and structure for the long run. Now, we get a lot of comments from a lot of different shareholders, some constructive, some negative. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it's hard, I mean, to make that right decision all the time. In our case, it's worked. And in our case, the last equity financing we did, it was very good for the company because it brought us in, I would say, out of the 77 people that invested in the company, I would say seven, because I spoke to every person, I would say 70 of those people will give us a benefit by either telling somebody else or being long-term shareholders and believing in the company. So at that time, it was right for us, and we wanted to accelerate our ability, as opposed to growing organically out of cash flow, the development of La Tortilla. And so that was the primary purpose, was to accelerate the development of La Tortilla. So as I went said in the beginning, I believe we're a manufacturer. We manufacture silver and gold. That's our products. And right now I have a market which is screaming for my product. So the more product I get to market and the faster, the better. And I have that ability. So, and it was a question of money before, how to accelerate it. So now it's not a question of money. Now it's not a question of technology. Now it's not metallurgy. Now it's, the permission and then being able to ship ore and bring the carbon ore on, and that'll give us three streams of ore.
So, right now, the president, the U.S. administration is, I don't know what he's up to, but he's mentioned Mexico quite a bit, and Mexico seems to be on his radar. Now, how's Mexico as a mining jurisdiction? Do you see any challenges? Do you see any concerns what's happening right now, and how do you overcome those things?
Really, I mean, how do you overcome it? Well, how do you overcome the unknown, what you don't know? You have to deal with it as it comes. They put in a half a percentage increase on gold and silver tax, which I would expect any government worldwide to do because of the increase. I would say it's a natural, and there, I it doesn't matter which country that you're in, everyone is panicking because of their debt loads. And as I spoke to you previously, this low inflation of 2.5%, it's a joke. I mean we're flat out being fleeced. I mean, there's no way. There's the cost of everything. I mean, I look at parts, I look at machine parts. Machine parts are anywhere between, depending on the part, 40 to 70% more expensive. Yet our salaries for our average workers don't allow for a decent life. So there's something seriously wrong. And around the world they're saying, no, it's fine. It's fine. Inflation is low. Keep going. So yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm old enough to have seen a few cycles, and I know this is not great. So Mexico, am I concerned? Not really. This government that's come in is new. They're struggling a little bit with writing the code for the new open pit mines, but it's around environment, and I really don't have a problem with, a country protecting their environment and mandating mining companies, to a higher level for the environment. I have no problem with that. So, and I've a little bit more tax. Well, I would expect that. If we look at Mali and Barrick, that was all about more money, and it's expected at these prices. I would expect every government. So that was the would be the only thing that I would be concerned about in Mexico. I mean, it's a flourishing country. There's a lot of onshoring, a lot of manufacturing moving to Mexico. They have an incredible young workforce, educated. I mean, some of the industrial clusters that are working there are amazing. I mean, an hour from the mine, they're putting in, a US company's putting in five data centers. Five. They're going to employ over 7,000 educated people to build them. Where they're going to get them from, because everybody who is a decent worker, which is 99% of the people in Mexico, and is educated, they have good jobs. So, you know, a labor would be a challenge. I mean, they've got, I would say they're turning out now, I think, if I'm a little rusty on the figure, but it was going to be like 4 million educated people, post-secondary education after in a 10 years period, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Robert's going to have one. Sorry.
I know. So from the point of view from your country or your administration talking about Mexico, I don't see it really as affecting us, but even though everything does, so we'll see. But I'm not too concerned.
Robert, what's the StarCorp's market cap today, and where do you see the biggest misconception or investment opportunity for StarCorp?
We missed dividends and buybacks. You wanted to ask about dividends and buybacks.
So oh, yeah, buybacks, please. Tell me more.
Buybacks, yeah. And market cap. Market cap today would be about $106.7 million. Buybacks, I don't really see them having a long-term beneficial effect, depending on your structure, depending on the company, depending on the, you know, gross volume that you're doing financially. It all has, you know, it has an applicable position at a certain time. For us, it doesn't. Dividends, we'd love to get back to dividends. We did that 1 year. We had a good, great dividend. We didn't stretch it out, make it over 2 or 3 years, as was suggested. We had the money. We paid the money out to shareholders. Should that be the case where we have money or a lot of money in the bank, we'll pay it out to shareholders. Absolutely. That's not a question. Is it planned? It's planned. If an opportunity came to expand the company, or that, you know, San Martin, we unlocked the source of the gold and we need to invest $20 million to make it, you know, 100,000 ounce producer per year, that would be the first priority.
Gotcha. Robert, if you can just give us your website one more time, your tickers, and then before you do that, I want to be clear again that this is not investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. And one of the ways you can do that is reach out to Robert and StarCorp yourself, follow their story, and ask them yourself. But Robert, if you can give us your website, your ticker, and how people can contact you.
Great. Thanks, Steve. The ticker is SAM on the TSX. Website is StarCorp.com. And as Steve said, some of these views are forward-looking, and mostly they are my own personal views as being the CEO of the company, but also a large investor myself. And so do your due diligence and read the material. The website's full of disclosure material. It's a very transparent company. Any questions you have, feel free, investor@starcorp.com, and it goes directly to me. Thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to speak again. And I'm sure in the next 6 months, Steve, we're going to have some exciting interviews. I know we are.
And Robert, I want to make clear for our listeners, I am a friend of Canada, just in case that wasn't ever in doubt. So thank you, Robert, for your time.
All right, Steve.